News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. It's 8.07 on this Thursday morning, and State Representative Brett Marcus is currently a candidate for Alabama's 1st Congressional District in the 2026 Republican primary. We would talk about his platform and his background and all of that.
Yeah, we're headed right towards that May 19th primary. I've been saying it all week. Reminder, May 4th is that registration deadline.
Right.
You want to make sure that you are registered to vote. Our news partners at WKRG mentioning that several polling locations have changed since the last time you probably went out and filled out those bubbles. So just make sure you know where you're going and you are registered. I'm sure that Representative Rhett Marcus would greatly appreciate that. Good morning, Representative Marcus. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, gentlemen. And Rhett is fine.
Okay.
Need for the formalities.
So you've been representing the enterprise area in our state government.
Yes, sir.
Picked up endorsements from well-known enterprise former resident Katie Britt and Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth endorsing you this week as well. So why Congress? Why now? Why are you deciding to make this leap?
Well, great question, I really appreciate y'all having me on. And,
sure.
And, you know, I want to start off with the fact that I actually grew up and was born and raised here in Baldwin County and grew up in Spanish Fort and went to Fairhope. So I know this area. My family is still here, and so I have deep roots in Baldwin County. And I did move to Enterprise in 2000, and it has been an honor to serve Coffee County and the Wiregrass for the last 8 years as a state representative. But Senator Britt's family, when I moved to Enterprise, they had a business right down the street from where I had bought one, and which is what led me to Enterprise purchasing a business, and became quick friends with her family and got to know her, and I was honored to have her endorsement right off the bat, and Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter and many of my colleagues also endorsed me, and then this week, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth endorsed this, and I really appreciate every one of them. And I think the reason why they endorsed me, I know, is because they know that I can go up there and be a strong conservative voice for the 1st Congressional District and this state. And I appreciate all of their trust in me, and I will definitely not let them down.
So you grew up in the area, but you didn't stay here, so you moved on to the other side of the state. So you've been, as long as you've been in office, you've represented the area that you're in right now, not
correct,
Mobile and Baldwin County. What's some of the things that voters in Mobile and Baldwin County might not really, you know about you and your record?
Well, I go back to, I've lived the majority of my life right here in Baldwin County. After graduating college, where I met my wife of 31 and a half years, we moved back to Daphne, and we've worked down here for about 7 years before buying a business over in Enterprise. But, I think what people need to know is that, I'm a strong conservative who has cut taxes. We've cut $1.5 billion in taxes. I know this area. We've protected our families and our children. I know that I know the needs of this area. I know that, when I grew up, the Bayway was being built, and they completed it when I was very young. I know we need a new Bayway. I know that the Port of Mobile is extremely important. You know, it's the biggest port in the Gulf right now, second fastest growing port in the country. And that has brought a lot of jobs and opportunities, not only for the Mobile Baldwin County area, but for the entire state. You have Austell and Airbus and down on the Baldwin County side, the tourism market is huge. And I really love Mobile and Baldwin County. It is part of me. My family, like I said, still lives here. And this year, Senator Chris Elliott and I sponsored a bill, and we got through the House and the Senate. It's called Save the Bay. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with the maintenance dredging and the material that came out of that and the beneficial, making it beneficial use 70% of that had to be used for beneficial use and couldn't be pumped back into the bay, because we were killing our bay. And I grew up on the bay. Mm-hmm. I fished on the bay. I swam on the bay. I boated on the bay. And it was killing our fishermen, our shrimpers, our oysters, and our oystermen, and the seagrass. And we had to do something. And Senator Elliott and I championed that and got that mud dumping bill passed. And I'm very proud of that, because that bay is what draws a lot of people down here.
Yeah, it sure does. And that was a big topic of discussion and continues to be right here on Mobile Bay. We're talking with Rhett Marcus, candidate for U.S. Congress, seat AL1, and would, if elected, represent a whole bunch of our listeners right here on this station. You mentioned the bridge, and I know that your time in the state legislature, you've heard of all the infrastructure talk. I mean, in Baldwin County, we've talked to so many candidates for the Baldwin County Commission and some of these other local races. That's pretty much all they've been discussing is infrastructure and keeping up with the growth. If you were to get that seat in the U.S. Congress, how would you fight for, or I guess it's better to ask, do you feel right now we're getting our fair share of federal infrastructure dollars? We always kind of feel like the redheaded stepchild all the way down here.
Well, you know, I think, number one, to answer your the last question first, are we getting our fair share? I think we can do better. And Senator Brett has done a fantastic job. And before that, Senator Shelby and the representatives down here have done a good job of getting that money. But we need more of the federal dollars. Especially, we are right here in the I-10 corridor in Alabama. We are the bottleneck for I-10. Right here at the Bayway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to put everybody through the new Wallace tunnel is not working and hasn't worked for a number of years. And this project should have been started 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, the funding, the initial funding of $550+ million was allocated, and we've got to get started, and we've got to get started now. But the infrastructure in Baldwin County, on the Baldwin County side, is just as important. You have the sixth fastest growing county in the country in Baldwin County. People are flooding in here, and we have got to make sure that those dollars come back. That's our tax dollars going to the federal government. It needs to come back, and we need to take care of our roads and bridges. One of the first bills that we passed when I was there was the Rebuild Alabama Act, that took care of infrastructure and is working to grow the infrastructure in the state. It helped deepen and widen the port. So, it is important to me to make sure that the state and the federal dollars come back to where they belong.
Rhett, you know, it's almost like if you were to win this election, it's like going from the minors to the majors in a way. And so your time in Montgomery, I'm sure it's been significant for you and your growth as someone representing the people. How has that shaped you to the way you would operate on a broader scale in Washington, D.C.?
Well, that's a great question. And I think, you know, right now we have President Trump in the office, and we have done a lot of, in this state, we have passed a lot of his agenda. And that's one thing that I'm going to go, when I go to Washington, D.C., I'm going to help President Trump pass his agenda, but also work with Senator Brett and the rest of the Alabama delegation to make sure that we can advance the needs and priorities of the state and make sure we grow the opportunities for the 1st Congressional District and this state. And as a state representative, that has helped me build the base with the team. You know, whether it's life or business or politics, it's all about building relationships and making sure that you have the core and the base to be able to explain what you need, but also work with others to get what you need. And I think as a state representative, we have great people in Montgomery, and y'all have great representation in Mobile and Baldwin County and throughout your listening area. But, you know, this next step is just that, the next step. Because I'm not leaving one team for another. We're just growing our team. And I think as a state representative, I've shown the ability to work with others in other districts and other places across the state to get things done, and we've gotten things done here in the state of Alabama.
We're talking with State Representative Rhett Marcus, running for AL1. That's that U.S. congressional seat. And I do want to ask you some current topics, even some things you may be voting on if you were currently in Congress. But I think the biggest topic right now, and it's our lead story this morning, the Supreme Court redistricting ruling yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then you look at states across the country. Florida passing, the Senate passed a new map yesterday. What are your thoughts on that, as we could potentially down the road see some changes again to the district lines here in Alabama? But the overall fight for these House districts across the country, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, that Louisiana case is a landmark case, and it's going to have lasting ramifications for decades to come. There's no doubt about it. You know, you just saw what happened in Virginia. Mm-hmm. You see what happened in Massachusetts and in California, where they basically removed all Republicans. And, you know, I think that Louisiana case is going to have some effect here in Alabama, too. Also, and I know y'all know Speaker Pro Tem Chris Pringle. I'm sure y'all talked to him. Mm-hmm. He knows this redistricting inside and out. And he has worked very hard on getting this taken care of. Here in Alabama, we had the three-judge federal panel gave us a little bit tougher. They gave us mm-hmm. two, I guess, issues that we had to address. Louisiana, we had the same thing as Louisiana, but we also had an additional filing against us or ruling against us from that panel. But as for me and right now, yes, down the road, there may be something that comes out of that for Alabama and across this country, you know, Florida, et cetera, that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But my singularly focus right now is running for the 1st Congressional District. I know this district. I know Mobile and Baldwin County because I grew up here and lived my life here, and I have deep roots here. But I also, you know, had a business that I've sold, that I had a business in Enterprise and raised two daughters over there, and have represented the Wiregrass. I know CD1, and that's my singular focus. And right now, the rest of it is kind of, I hate to use the word, but it is, it's kind of noise.
Right, yeah.
And right now, I want to be focused on representing this district, because this is a great and incredible district. And I love the people of this district, and I know the issues of this district all across the you know, from the beaches to the bay to the Wiregrass. I know the issues going on, and that's my focus. And I know one day, you know, something may change, but right now, this is my focus, and I want to represent CD1 the best of my ability.
Tell you what we'll do.
That's what I'm running for.
Rhett, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll dive in maybe a little bit deeper into this district,
yes,
because it is, Dalton, we it's so unique.
Yes.
It maybe as unique a district as the state of Alabama even has, and that all has to do with that ruling in 23, right?
Yeah, it does. And you mentioned some of the industry and the jobs that we have coming into the area. I want to get to that. Plus, the Iran war, which is many of your questions on the text line as well. 251-343-0106. Coming back with Rhett Marcus, candidate for AL1, right here on Mobile Mornings.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orr with FM Talk 106.5. Our guest is Rhett Marcus. He's a candidate for GOP AL1. That's a primary coming up on the 19th of May. And I think we lost Rhett. I'll be darned.
Yeah, it might be him calling in on this other line. Let's see. Just click that. There we go.
We got him.
Are you back on with us, Rhett?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. We just kind of got cut off there.
No, didn't miss any time. Thank you for the quick turnaround there.
That's right. We're right on time here. By the way, talking about AL1, we know it's an oddly long cutout in the map of Alabama. What do you think is the biggest or the two biggest issues in AL1?
Well, I mean, as far as the entire district, ag, it, you know, our farmers, we're losing farmers at a rate of about 225,000 farms a year in this country. And our farm production, our farmers are struggling. Fuel prices and fertilizer prices, mm-hmm. et cetera. And the return on what they're getting for what they're producing is at the same levels it was back in the 80s. And so our farmers are struggling. We need to help our farmers. And, the other thing is we need to make sure that we continue the infrastructure. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but that is a major issue from the Wiregrass to the coast is infrastructure. We have got to continue building up our infrastructure so we can continue not only moving commerce around, but we need to make sure that we can continue bringing good-paying jobs to the area.
Those are two good answers right there. And that drought certainly hadn't helped our farmers either, although thankfully, yeah, we're getting some rain now. Rhett, what makes you different from the other Republicans running in this race? I know as a state, we're fortunate for all of these races. We have some pretty good conservatives running. What makes you different than the rest of them in this AL1 race?
Well, thank you so much for that question. I think that is right on point. And the whole thing is this. I have a proven record at the state level of cutting taxes, protecting our children, making sure boys don't play in girls' sports and go into girls' locker rooms. And I can't believe we had to pass a bill for something common sense like that. But, we also made sure that we didn't, in this state, pay for or allow gender-affirming care for minors. I mean, I think that's something that is important. And, we've made sure that we protected our families from our children, rather, from predators. Mm-hmm. Matt Simpson had a bill where he, this past session that I was happy to co-sponsor, people over the age of 19 that would do harm to our children under the age of 12 sexually, they get receive the death penalty. Those people are, there's some bad people out there. And, we need to remove them from our population. But, and the other thing is, like I said, we cut taxes by $1.5 billion, and I think that's important. And, we've always protected our military and our veterans and our law enforcement. But I have the proven record. What makes me different is I have the proven record of in this state of being a strong conservative fighter that can go to Washington, D.C. and help President Trump pass his agenda. This Save America Act that he's trying to get through, many of the high priorities that's in that bill, we've already done here in Alabama. Mm-hmm. The election integrity, and like I was just saying, the boys and girls sports, et cetera. A lot of the stuff that he has in that bill, we've already done. And the working family tax credit that he got through Congress earlier was the largest tax refund in American history. We had the largest tax cut in Alabama history by removing half of the grocery tax. So I have the proven record that I can go to Washington, work with the delegation to get things done and work to help President Trump get his agenda done.
Well, in about the 50 seconds we've got left, Rhett, you can just give everybody your best pitch and tell them where to find out more information about your candidacy.
Well, first of all, Dan and Dalton, thank you so much for allowing me to be on y'all's radio show. I know it's highly popular in the coast and this area, and I just really appreciate this opportunity. And
sure.
People can go to RhettForAlabama.com and get some more information. And, I think if you want a strong, proven, strong conservative fighter, you need to send me to Washington. The endorsements that I've received are because of the fact that they, Senator Brett and the others know that we need somebody like me to go up there and help them get the job done. And I can get the job done. I've done it here in Alabama. Now I'm ready to take Alabama common sense to Washington. And I humbly ask for the vote on May 19th.
Rhett, thanks a bunch. And we will talk again, I'm sure, very soon.
I hope so, Dan. I really appreciate y'all so much.
Thank you now.
All right. Rhett Marcus, state representative currently, representing the area around Enterprise there, but running for U.S. Congress and AL1 in what is certainly a competitive primary. It will culminate May 15th. May 19th. I need to get it right if I'm going to speak with such certainty. May 19th, that primary coming up. You want to make sure you're registered to vote. That deadline May 4th. And that's one of the races that is very, very tight right now among several that we have around the state.
Yeah, the polls right now calling that one between Red and Jerry Carl a toss-up. You know what that means. 8:30, you're going to get a little more local with Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile. That's straight ahead with Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:36. Conversation continues on this Thursday morning.
It does with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, online, lanyapmobile.com. He joins us as he does every Thursday. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. Even better now that we know that we're finalists in several Nappies categories. And the official, the real finalist voting for Nappies coming very soon. So folks will get their chance to...
Yeah, next week.
Okay, yep. Next week it begins, and that's always a big deal. I've told you about how over the years I've always printed out that list of winners, and when the wife and I are looking for a date night or want to go, you know, find something to do, I've used that, the Nappy Award winners. It's been my guide for a long time, so I always appreciate that you guys do that.
I thought you also used it just to badge your way in when you don't have reservations. You know, like, hey, here are my finalists.
Yeah, I have the...
Without me, Dalton Orwig, you would not have won. Right?
That's exactly right. So, finalist voting coming next week. Let's get into the news and some big news stories you've been covering, as always, at Lanyap. But I know on the Lagnapod, and if people haven't been listening, it's worth your listen every week. You put them out episodes weekly. But the pickleball noise, and specifically in Spring Hill.
Phantom pickleball noise.
We talked about this some yesterday, but residents of Spring Hill, specifically one resident in particular who's been diagnosed with, and I forget the exact term, but it's like pickleball auditory syndrome or something. She says the paddle noises keep her up at night. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah, I never have. It was, I don't mean to make light of this person's illness. The city council read a letter from her that said that she hears pickleball noises outside her home constantly, and even when they're not playing pickleball, she hears the noises. And so the council has spent $29,000 to put up some quilts, some kind of sculpted stuff to deaden the sound with the pickleball. I don't, you know, maybe a big fan would help, you know, white noise. I don't know. It's just,
Yeah, Dan and I are talking about taking our podcasting out to Lavretta Park now, if they're going to put all these sound deadening.
I think it should.
Well, it's like, it's almost
I just think you should do it with a pickleball noise behind you. They'd like to hear it, you know. Some people get a good listen.
You know, people they think it's a pain in the neck when they got a dog next door, like Dalton's dogs, I'm sure, are a menace out where he lives.
Yeah, they are.
And they're howling and all that kind of stuff. But now you have a situation where she's complaining about a dog, and they say, lady, that dog died last year. You're hearing a phantom sound.
Phantom hound. They got, you know, there was like the American Auditory Association or something like that. Said that there is this actual syndrome for pickleball noises. It's people are actually hearing this. This is not just her saying this. There's a group. I don't know if they're sponsored by a big business or something like that. It's just trying to put it on pickleball. But
it's a big tennis.
It's strange. Yeah.
I think
I don't know. It's a strange one. It is definitely a weird one.
Yeah, and I just think it's kind of, you know, you have certain places where neighbors complain about gunshots, and then you have certain places in the city where it's the pickleball noise that's too much. So
that's actually true. Yeah,
we'll keep you updated on the latest, and I'll let you know as soon as I have that pickleball syndrome. Hopefully, it's not contagious, but we'll see.
Yeah,
the rent dispute that took a different turn here. Government Plaza rent dispute with Scott Johnson writing an article just a few days ago with Randall Dewitt, county commissioner, coming out and saying, "Hey, so it turns out that the insurance coverage we were offered by Thames Battery, I think.
Battery.
Battery, thank you. Thames Battery.
I like how I say battery. Yeah, battery.
Battery. So they're going to drop annual premiums. We had this other insurance group come in and say, hey, we can actually offer you this coverage for $2 million less than what you're getting right now. And then Thames Battery comes back and says, oh, yeah, we can lower it too. We can actually get lower than that other bid. What's going on here? And I guess in the short term, long term, this will affect eventually negotiations of the city and its place there in Government Plaza.
Well, it's one of the things they pointed out in saying, hey, you know, this the rent needs to go up is that insurance costs have gone up a lot. But the county signed a new insurance deal back in December. And then so Hub International, another insurance company, came in last week and said, hey, you know, we can get you not only cheaper coverage but more coverage. There's a lot of stuff that isn't being covered that we can get for you. And at this sort of, you know, 11th hour, the original company, Thames Battery, comes in and says, yeah, we can do that too. But I still think there's issues about whether even, they didn't, when Battery came in, they didn't really have a presentation. They didn't have actual details, a lot of it. It was kind of like, yeah, we can save you the money, but there wasn't anything where we know the details. I think the other side still claims they cover more, and that the I think there's some, you know, it's kind of interesting how like this came about, and you say, okay, well, there's a bid. How do they all of a sudden know that there's another bid? That it's not, so this is weird. You don't bid for this. Okay, so people will automatically think, okay, well, you bid for this. No, it's a professional service, so it's not handled in the usual fashion like a bid. They don't come in that way. So they have the opportunity to choose who they want based on whatever they think is the best. But it's definitely opened up the door, and there's some serious money being saved, I think. The same kind of thing happened out with MAA as well. The same company came out and had some and helped them lower some costs out there with insurance as well.
That's great you say that about the bidding process. Yeah. You know, my main worry with government, feds on down, is that when they're purchasing something using taxpayer dollars, that, you know, worst case scenario, there's backroom deals being cut, and next worst case scenario is that they're just, you know, handing out these contracts without actually shopping around or trying to lower prices. I mean, that's quite the cost discrepancy in annual premiums. A $2 million drop, that seems egregious. But I don't
know. It's a lot, and you have to wonder why, you know, it didn't, why the company didn't come. I mean, that's what Dewitt said. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you guys, all of a sudden, there's somebody else that comes in and offers us a price, and all of a sudden, you guys can run it back in, and you can give us a better price. Why didn't you give us a better price before? And there's some back and forth about when insurance. So, I mean, apparently insurance costs went way up, and now they've been coming back down.
Right.
And there's some dispute about when they could have offered. You know, Thames Battery says, no, we just did this. It just got lower. The other company says, no, not so fast. It's been coming down for a little bit, and you could have done it sooner. So. And then there's, you know, I think there's some backroom stuff. I think there's some issues about, you know, I think maybe some other commissioners are interested in keeping what they've got. And so you've got a little bit of back and forth. There's politics involved and relationships as well. It's something to really watch as a citizen, how your money's being spent. It's something to watch. And I hope that at the very minimum, the county gets the best deal it can, but also the best coverage it can as well.
Exactly. When you're talking insurance, you're talking coverage as well, so that factors into it, and there are deep relationships there for sure.
But I promise you this, we will be covering it. We will be on it, and we will watch it, and we will report what they get.
No doubt about that.
Well, you need to be on this, my man. Penis Lady wants to get paid. So that, and you're already on it right now.
I think you really need to explain that statement. Okay?
So rephrase that.
The lady that dressed up as a penis in Fairhope
at the anti-Kings rally, right?
Right. The No Kings rally. Yeah. And so, of course, she was the subject of joking and ridicule a little bit. She also, as it turned out, she won her case. She didn't have to. There was no jail time for her, and she spoke like a patriot on the courtroom steps then. And now she's turned it into, you know what? Thinking about all this, I think I'd like $2 million.
And an apology.
And an apology, yeah. So what's your story here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said from the very beginning they were not going to win this case. She was absolutely within her rights to do what she was doing. Whether you like it or not, it's a First Amendment. It's a political issue. Fairhope was wrong to drag her down and throw her on the ground and do all those things and arrest her. They shouldn't have done it. We get into these issues of whether it's a smart move for cities to apologize when bad things happen like that. Where, you know, there's a case that was filed just this week in Mobile with a no-knock warrant, mm-hmm. where the police went to the wrong house. They kicked in the door. They broke stuff. They, you know, on the way out of the door, one of the cops said to one of the kids, "Your mom's a drug dealer." They were totally at the wrong house. Mm-hmm. Still haven't gotten have not gotten an apology from the city. Now they're suing the city. Same thing's going to happen in Fairhope. If, you know, should they settle it or should they just spend the next couple of years paying lawyers to deal with it? That's part of the deal when you're out there as a police officer. You got to make smart decisions. And, you know, I think in that circumstance, she's got a strong case. Whether people like it or not, it's tough. And I mean, $2 million to be wrestled around in an inflatable penis costume. Sign me up.
And we've talked so much about this case, I'm starting to get those phantom ball pickle noise things, but except phantom visions in my sleep of inflatable penises, I guess. I don't know.
That's something you need to see your psychologist about.
Where is your inflatable penis costume when you really need it? It looks like right now. No. Putting one of those on might be able to cash in.
I guess so. Talk with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, new edition on stands now, and better yet, online, lanyapmobile.com. Let's talk Amtrak, too. By my count, I think we're talking 5 or maybe 6 serious accidents now since Amtrak. Yeah. Began running that Mardi Gras line in August of last year. So you have kind of two competing things going on here. According to all the people I've heard from involved with Amtrak, the numbers are better than they could have imagined. They just had their 100,000th passenger last week. But at the same time, we've seen 6 deaths, I think, majority of those in Mississippi. That's on the line. Bad. And a very dangerous accident. I'm surprised no one was seriously more injured or even dead after hitting that truck with a flatbed and a van on top this past weekend.
Yeah, it is. You've got a much faster train coming through the area, and people need to be aware of it. And, you know, it's real easy to avoid being hit by a train. It's a simple fact. You know, mm-hmm. There's a track right there. Don't run past the guards and those things. But, this case, the truck got stuck on the track, trying to go over the track, I guess, and it got hooked on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously trains have a hard time stopping. They can't stop on a dime either. So that one maybe not as, you know, I don't know. Again, you know, how low the guy's truck was, and he maybe should have known that. But it's, we have a situation where people need to realize that at this point that there's a high-speed passenger train coming through the area, and they need to really pay attention and not try to beat the train or be aware of what clearance their vehicle has as they're going over the tracks, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then down there in Grand Bay, in Grand Bay, there's just one after another, it seems like, crossing the track. It's hard to avoid. There's so many roads that cross the track, and it just compounds the whole thing. It just gives you a greater opportunity for this to happen, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a town that was split in half by a train track and with no guards on it, and we had, I don't know how many, three or four or five different places to cross the tracks. And, you know, there is always that temptation mm-hmm. when the light starts turning red to just punch it and go. But, it's not real smart when the train's going 75 miles an hour.
You know, and we're hearing more chatter, too, first from the officials in New Orleans and then now the Pensacola mayor talking about maybe pushing this Amtrak line eastward from Mobile to Pensacola. Yeah. They'd have to go through Atmore if they put tracks down. I don't even think they have those. And they also said Amtrak doesn't currently have the cars to expand right now. I thought a big part of this deal, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I thought that in these conversations with the freight companies, which was a huge part of this deal, remember, that they said no eastbound at all. And so it'll be interesting. I know Pensacola's talking about maybe now picking you up on a bus in Mobile and then busing you to Pensacola and then hopping on an Amtrak there. I mean, do you see this, well, first off, sticking around past this first three-year term, but beyond that, expanding? It's been pretty popular to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the popularity stays, I think it will. It's, I mean, it's been an unmitigated success right now as far as ridership goes. It's been far better than anybody expected, and if it continues in that vein, I don't see any reason it would go away. And you know, I mean, if there's opportunities to expand it to Pensacola, I think you'll see maybe that effort will happen. I think one of the things that, you know, I read a story from, and I can't think of the publication, but it was something about, it's a train publication, and they were basically saying that that talked about issue with the freight trains really hasn't materialized at all. They've been able to coexist pretty well. So maybe that wouldn't be such a strong point anymore if they've seen that, hey, it can work and it's not a big problem.
Rob, someone wants to get the news daily and just, you know, go to their phone and check out Lanyap, that's pretty easy, and it helps keep the doors open and the news alive, and your team's still humming, right?
That's right. It keeps us doing the watchdog work that we do. So go to lanyapmobile.com, get signed up. It's 30 cents a day, folks. That's it. So, and we're putting news up all week long, every day. So check it out.
That's how we keep up. Thanks a bunch, Rob, and we'll talk next Thursday.
All right, guys. Good luck. Dalton, work on those dreams.
I'm just not going to sleep. Rob Holbert, lanyapmobile.com. Another great hit with him. We'll come back and wrap up Mobile Mornings, let you know who's on a stacked Jeff Poor Show today as well. That's all on the way next.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Up next to the Jeff Poor Show, Christina McGinnis. She's an Ag Commissioner candidate, among those, I should say. Also, April Marie Fogle from 1819 News will be a guest. And in the final hour, you will have John Wall, the running for Lieutenant Governor, and Chris Elliott, usually a Friday guest of the Jeff Poor Show. He'll be on today on the Jeff Poor Show up next.
Once again, want to give a big shout out to Tomahawk Crane and Rigging, helping us get a very heavy item from our first floor down here at the office at Airport and 65, all the way up onto our roof. I bet you that satellite dish mount that we were going to carry up piece by piece had to have been 700, 800 pounds and difficult to carry. But we saw Mike Ledlow with Tomahawk Crane and Rigging out in our lot earlier this week, and I said, hey, I think you can give us a hand.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like your thumb was out. Like, I need a ride. I need this to get a ride. But you had it. You also had to get this thing back out of our lobby and back out to where he could corral it. So you moved 700 pounds. How?
Yeah. Well, first I was. It was like a pyramid situation where I was just trying to get it up on the furniture dolly, and then Sean showed up and we were able to put it together. But then once we got it out to Mike, he was able to get it up on the roof safely and smoothly. And I learned a lot about Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. What a great company. They have offices in Mobile and Pensacola, but service the entire region and do everything from rooftop lifts like that all the way up to massive jobs that involve massive cranes. So again, want to thank Mike and that team at Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. And I know from the response from you guys, a lot of you know that company well. Lady, here's a text. The lady at Lavretta Park started by complaining about the lights on the pickleball courts, so the city installed magnetic locking fences and moved the switch to turn the lights on inside the fence. Now she's complaining about the noise of the rackets, and again, the city's trying to accommodate her. When will they realize she's just a modern-day Karen?
Well, you know, the last thing we need is coyotes to pick up the game of pickleball, and then she'll have coyotes and the lights and the sound, and we wouldn't want any of that.
Another texture, did the commercial truck driver not call 911 or the number on the blue sign to notify they were stuck? I guess not. And I don't know how long that truck was high-pointed on that track before the Amtrak came through.
Then it wasn't.
But a reminder, too, Desi Tobias. We were talking with him about some of these accidents. He said there's a sign at all these crossings with a number to call in case something goes wrong. 8:58. Want to do this all again tomorrow morning, Dan, or what do you think?
That would be the plan for sure. Thanks for all the shower talk online on the text line. That was interesting, huh?
Yeah. That was a good start to the morning. Maybe we'll get to some of those tomorrow. 8:59, Jeff Porcho on the way next.